Welcome to the Decent Crypto Podcast. Today is April 30th. We are back, baby. Matt, how you doing?
We are so back. We are so back. I'm good. I'm enjoying my Euro trip. I'm out in Poland right now. Poland's fucking amazing. I was told not to even leak this alpha. I've been told I need to gatekeep it, but Poland is really nice. I never would have seen this coming, but Warsaw is just fucking spectacular. Krakow is cute. It's a little touristy, but like I really wish I had set aside like two or three more weeks just to explore Poland. It's spectacular. Wow. Yeah.
Poland is the real alpha.
Okay. What's the real alpha? I mean, we haven't recorded since the entire meme coin thing started.
Yeah, we haven't recorded since the whole market dynamics completely changed. I think like probably last time we recorded, Bitcoin was at the, you know, range high, like above 30K, just kind of chilling above 30K, then everything nuked, and then everything rocketed back up, and then everything kind of dumped again. And now it kind of rocketed back up. It's like, where's Bitcoin? Like 29K? I don't know. The funny thing is, I don't even check.
29.4. Yeah.
Yeah. I truly don't know the price of ETH. I never even check anymore. It's so interesting.
Actually, I put it on my lock screen here. This little like widget thing. And so on one side I have the time zones of various cities that I like to call. And then on the other side I have Bitcoin, ETH, and Matic.
Wow.
And yeah, for a while I was feeling kind of like, yeah, you can tell how good my spirits are when it comes to working at Polygon based on how much I think about Matic. For a while I had Doge and that just felt wrong. And then I was like, what else should I put there? Probably Pepe, but it's too many zeros. So Matic is, honestly, it's a good bellwether. It's like, I've never seen a token just react so not idiosyncratically. It just moves up when the market moves up. It moves down when the market moves down. Matic hasn't moved on its own since like November. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Matic is kind of entering the like boomer coin territory, you know, where it's like you kind of know who the buyers are, you know. It's I don't know how much retail is going to be punting Matic, especially now that we have meme coins, you know. There's a lot of implications to this meme coin trend. We'll see if it lasts, but
I completely agree. There's a lot of fucking implications, and yeah. I think that, look, this is part of why I love crypto, right? For the last like month or so, I've spent most of my like working time talking to people about tokenization of real world assets. And out of fucking nowhere, meme coins come in and change the entire market dynamic. I love this, right?
It is like, interesting.
And, you know, one of the things that I really love about it is that real world assets have gone nowhere since like 2016, right? And meme coins over the span of 2 weeks have come so far. And all like you can almost imagine like the derisive attitude that people would have toward them. They're like NFTs. I think you said it really well. NFTs were the old shit coins, or were the new shit coins. Now shit coins are the new NFTs. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a circle of life.
but I do agree. I think there are broad-based implications for this. And I think it's coming at a time when there are broad-based implications for a lot of things in crypto. Like, what's the value of fucking block space? What's the value of security? Like, you know, what are the different ecosystems actually going to look like? Where does Ethereum fit in all of this? A lot of things are changing. And I think that's part of why it's so exciting to see meme coins come in, is that it really does, like on the market side of things, it changes a lot.
Yeah, it really does. Let's start from the beginning. We'll get to implications at the end. Okay, so more or less, crypto was a little stale, right? It's like volumes were kind of dying. NFTs are completely dead. It was all just blur farming. That was the only thing keeping it up. On the, I guess, like big picture level, narrative wise, it was just real world assets.
L2s,
yeah, ZK.
Like Arbitrum, ZK, yeah.
Right. Polygon, ZK, EVM, Arbitrum.
ZK Sync Era, yeah.
Yeah, ZK Sync Era.
Scroll, TM, soon.
All the ZK kind of like launches kind of came out. But I don't know, they haven't really picked up that much.
Coinbase base, right?
Oh, true. Yeah. True.
Look, the thing about L2s is the reason that they're not a very compelling narrative is the same reason that you as a listener might be like, I don't really know exactly how Arbitrum differs from Optimism, but I'm not even going to look into it. Because they are effectively commodities, right? Yeah. Like, you know, Arbitrum, Optimism, they're commoditized like Optimistic Rollup block space. And then like Optimism comes out with Base, and now they're going to have like, you know, white label, like Rollup as a service. And then Arbitrum is doing Rollup as a service. With their whole like L3 structure, and the, you know, they have different names for it, the Arbitrum Universe or something. And then you have ZK Sync and Polygon ZKVM, and they're both coming out with ZK rollups, and they're effectively commodities for anybody but the like most technical or like token economic like minded person, right? No one really cares what the minute differences are between the ZKs. Look, it's not no one. I've met a lot of people over the last 2 weeks that care because they don't want to like precompile or whatever. They don't want to just write Solidity and deploy. They want to make sure the bytecode matches, blah, blah, blah. But in effect, like 99.99% of people don't care. It's just more block space. And like last cycle, look at the kind of block space that we accepted as like good enough, right? It was like secured by, like, look at Phantom.
Harmony.
Look at Harmony. Yeah.
Dude, and, I got my funds stuck on Harmony, and I had to email their dev. And this one guy was like, oh shit, dude, this thing got stuck. Like, let me clear it.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I transferred a big amount too. I was like, eh, fuck it, this should work.
So yeah, like, it, you know, we were willing to accept like weird fucking barely secured block space is secured block space last time. Now we have block space ostensibly allegedly secured by Ethereum, right? And like a little bit of math or a little bit of like, you know, centralization. and it's just kind of a commodity, and it's not that interesting, right? So it was feeling really stale. You know, like all of the, you know, Arbitrum airdrop happened, kind of like, you know, great to have an airdrop, but like nobody really, you know, didn't kick off anything. The ZK rollups launched and didn't really kick much off. And then the meme coins started. can we talk first about what's a Pepe?
Pepe is the Mona Lisa of this generation, according to the greatest trader I know. okay, so Pepe originally was created by, I think, Matt Fury. This guy, Matt Fury, is like a little child cartoon 15 years ago. It just,
I didn't know this, really?
Yeah. Completely unrelated to anything crypto or alt-right or anything like that. Just really just a harmless child's cartoon. Pepe the Frog. Yeah.
Okay.
So let's, now that we're saying it, let's give some actual background. Created by Matt Fury, he first appeared in Boys Club, which is a comic that this guy made in 2005. So yeah, Pepe has been around for a long time. So I guess the original format of the meme was Pepe, and then he had a little caption over his face that said "Feels good, man," and that you know, that's still around. But then people just kind of took that meme format and, you know, turned it into like literally all this other stuff. So I'm on the Pepe Wikipedia right now. If you want a great laugh, you should read the Pepe Wikipedia, or at least just go through the kind of just like the, I don't know, sub like headings. There's no gallery section. There are some photos. Yeah, the headings are amazing. So Pepe, Origin Boys Club. Next one, Pepe as an internet meme. Next one, use by the alt-right. Next one, just Keck. During the 2016 United States presidential election, Keck became associated with alt-right politics. This is amazing. Keck is associated with the occurrence of repeating digits known as dubs, trips, quads, among other terms.
What?
This is incredible. Next, next one. Kekistan. Kekistan is a fictional country created by 4chan members that has become a political meme and online movement. Oh my god. So basically, next heading, use in Hong Kong protests. Oh, yeah. Okay, so the point here is Pepe has been a meme and just been a meme that's been used across different kinds of movements, different kinds of like all this kind of stuff. Like people just have somehow adopted Pepe. And for the most part, to be honest, it has been more of like alt-right kind of like 4chan like internet subculture kind of stuff. That's what leads us to this next headline, which is use in cryptocurrency. So in a further iteration, Pepe has been seen or has seen usage among cryptocurrency enthusiasts as a meme on Twitter and elsewhere. The main article here is Rare Pepe. So Rare Pepe was a card, like the very first NFT project really on Bitcoin. So the first Rare Pepes ever, they were mined in 2016, before Ethereum NFTs even became a thing. Like Rare Pepes are these little cards that have different kinds of people, like different figures on them. Like it has like the Japanese guy, like Dorian Nakamoto, who people thought was Satoshi Nakamoto, like as a Pepe, has other, you know, like other people just as Pepe. How many of them are there? There's like 1774. Yeah, that is really what kicked off Pepe as a crypto meme. And yeah, it's been around like on Bitcoin since that time. So for like 6 years. All right. Does that answer your question about who is Pepe?
Yeah, in stunning detail.
This is the background we need.
So is this like when Arthur Hayes has a post, there's always like a Pepe on
yes.
the...
That's
is
a
it,
fake
are those
rare.
The cards?
Fake That's rare. A fake rare, yeah.
they're not real yeah. rare Pepes, they're fake rares.
Well, yeah, so fake rares... fake rares are like... I think that's just like what they call them. I don't know. Like fake rares and rares. I'm probably missing something about the fake
Dude,
rares
how much,
here.
How much
I think
fucking...
maybe fake rares are the, oh, I think maybe fake rares are the Ethereum ones. Cause I know they were minted on Ethereum at some point.
How much alpha have we collectively missed out on by not wasting all of our time on 4chan?
Tons and tons and tons. I'm always just curious, like how many random motherfuckers on 4chan just have net worths over $100 million.
Tons and tons and tons for sure. okay. Somehow, for some reason, Pepe, I feel like I've been seeing a lot more of like, or I've been hearing a lot more about Pepes over the last like couple of weeks or like couple of months, really, since like ETH Denver, I think. Like more and more people have been talking about Pepe. I've been seeing more and more Pepe stickers. This is probably just related to like the two people in my life that are like all about Pepe, like coming into it. but then the sort of, okay. So I feel like the stage was kind of set by Pool Party, actually. I don't know if that's like accurate. No,
I don't think Pool Party's big enough.
You don't think so?
No. Nah. I mean, right now the market cap's like 250K.
It pumped really hard though. I feel like if you look at the altcoins that, so okay, let's go through just sort of structurally what it means to launch an altcoin, right? Mm-hmm. You create your ERC-20, you mint it, right? You mint the full supply, you take it and some ETH and you put it into Uniswap as like liquidity, right? And then the best practice is to take the like LP token that you receive and burn it, or put it in what you call like a time lock, right? And if you go on like any of the like altcoin like screening sites like Dex Screener or Dex Tools, it has a little like pop-up that tells you how long the liquidity is locked for. And the best practice is to just lock it forever by burning the LP token.
Yeah.
But you can also insert it into like a time lock contract. And there's like some standards out there for like 99 years or something.
Yeah.
So that in 99 years you can rug the entire like liquid supply of Pepe. This sort of stuff happens literally all the time, and it happens really frequently on BSC and like the sort of lower gas chains. I feel like Solana probably has a fair number of just like alt tokens getting launched. You don't hear about it as often on Polygon. I'm sure it's happening. Generally what people say is it pumps a little bit, and then whoever owns like most of the supply sells it and it goes to
zero. Yeah.
Right. It rugs. And there was that stat that like it was several hundred or several thousand rugs happen on Binance Smart Chain every single day.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting, right? Because on Ethereum, you'd be like, this can't possibly be worth the gas. But on Binance Smart Chain, it's fractions of a penny. And if any of these things, you know, like you can automate all the shit, right? Like that's what's so one of the really cool things about being on chain is it's indiscernible whether something's being done by a robot or by a human, right? And like it almost sort of like blurs the line between like if it's a human controlling a robot, you know, I'm sitting here clicking sign. Yeah. Does that count as a human action, or is the computer doing it, right?
Yeah.
Does it go to robotic when I'm scheduling it? Like what makes it a bot? Anyway. So these sorts of things happen all the time. And I think Pool Party is notable in that in recent memory, it definitely got the biggest out of any of the ones that I had seen on like something like Dex Tools or Dex Computer.
All right. Well, it was one of the more notable shitcoins before all the meme coins. I guess that's true. Really though, it's all about Pepe. You know, Pepe came out like a month. It's been like a month now. It came out early April, early mid April maybe. What's funny is that somebody discovered has been tracing all the wallets that have been linked to, you know, getting distributions from the Pepe deployer or like some of the insider wallets, things like that. It seems like the same people also tried to launch Pepe, like a different Pepe, like 2 weeks prior, and it just didn't work out. It just never picked up. But this Pepe definitely did pick up. There's really nothing behind the token at all. Like if you go on their website, it's literally just like, we think it's time for meme coins to come back. We think that Pepe is the greatest meme ever. We want people to be engaged and involved in this. Here's how you can buy some Pepe. We have no connection to the original creator. Yada, yada, yada. That's basically all it is. It's just like a little like one pager website. And then, you can just go to Uniswap and swap it. Uniswap
is fucking the greatest gift to degenerates on this planet. I mean, Uniswap is really incredible, right? Because it takes this thing that has no value and gives you a way to swap it for something that has some value. And that's just like an incredible breakthrough, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, I just, my mind is boggled when I think about the implications of Uniswap.
It is actually insane. Also, if you look at the founding of Uniswap, if you read Hayden Adams' blogs initially, he literally was like zero background in computer science, zero background in crypto. And he was just like, oh, this is a cool thing. Like, I'm just going to play around. And he just made it.
Didn't really he start incredible. With like a grant for like very small, like tens of thousands of dollars or something?
Not even like. The grant was, he literally was invited to the like some hacker house and they like helped him build it. and then I think they got formal funding, but Yeah, Uniswap is ridiculous. The idea that, all this is really enabled by Uniswap. This, in 2020, if you remember, like people were just launching tokens and they were just all going to the moon. You could basically just buy anything and just make tons and tons of money. That's kind of what Unisat feels like right now. Unisat is the BRC20 version, the Bitcoin version. We'll get into that. But yeah, so.
So yeah, I mean, the thing that I find, just before we move on from fucking Uniswap, because conceptually I think it's important to take a pause and just think about, like, why is anything worth any money, right? And it's like, well, because someone's willing to pay you for it. But that's a very murky sort of like soft concept. But when it's in code, like when it's being executed by this world computer, and you can demonstrably show that somebody is willing to pay you money for it. That's the like physical manifestation of the willingness to pay you money for it. I think that makes it just so concrete. And in a way that like markets have never truly existed before, right? It's always been like hypothetically, if I were to say I have a house, right, and I put on the market and I want to sell it, there's no like provable like way for me to know that somebody's willing to pay money for it, except for that, like, until somebody comes in and does it. On Uniswap, it's like, I guess that's also true. You need somebody to be willing to buy the token from the pool, but you can track the people being willing to pay money for it. It takes all of this from, and it's sort of like, I think there's a centralized exchange role in this little economy, and then there's the like Uniswap role in this little economy. And Uniswap takes pretend things and makes them into ETH, which, like, for someone like you or me, is a real thing. But the centralized exchange takes ETH, which to a lot of people is not so much a real thing, and swaps it for dollars, which is a very real thing. And to me, like, the role of Uniswap here in taking the imaginary and making it into the slightly less imaginary is really interesting.
I agree. And that is what has led to this meme coin season, right? So, like, in fundamentally, people want to buy things that they believe in, right? Like, whether that's a good investment strategy or not, people like to be a part of something. People want to feel like they are involved and owning something that's a real movement, right? And this is why NFTs picked up in the last cycle, right? This is why NFTs got to some crazy valuations because people were like, yeah, I want to be a part of this cult. Like, I'll pay crazy amounts of money to be a part of this thing. And now, for some reason, NFTs have just completely died, right? I think, honestly, I think part of it is because of Blur. I think Blur has kind of killed the like NFT ownership because people are just farming the airdrop so much that it kind of just kills floor prices. It kind of kills like any kind of community development because people are just dumping on each other. That's a whole different thing.
Couldn't you argue though that Blur, by incentivizing bids, has actually protected the floor prices of a lot of collections?
Well, I think it's caused people to bid. Well, okay, yeah, I think you're right in the sense that it probably has protected floor prices, but it has like artificially increased volumes and liquidity, which I don't think necessarily like we're going to stay this high. And well, okay.
Is it like extend and pretend, or is it like, look, the one problem that I see with Blur is that, like, you're right, by artificially increasing trading volumes, it shifts your perspective on these assets to a much more commoditized thing,
For sure.
right? Whereas, like, I mean, look at the interface, right? Like, you can barely even see the photos,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. They don't, the idea is that they don't care about these as individual assets, right? Like they care about them as a like a one piece of like basically they want them to be like individual token, like they want them to just be tokens, you know, like ERC20 tokens. Yeah,
Fungies, yeah.
fungible tokens. Which is what Blur wants. They want like they incentivize liquidity and trading volume, right? Like they want this to be like more robust marketplace, like whatever. I'm not here to judge Blur. I'm just saying that like that is to me why NFTs kind of lost their community aspect and like their luster in that sense, where it's like, it's hard to feel as much like a part of something when it's clear that there's like this like whole other like market dynamic going on, and you know, that whole thing, right?
It makes it, financializes it a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right. And it shatters the sort of like mystique of the like club membership, like 100% aspect of things, the community side. Yeah, it takes you one step closer to just the financialization end of it.
Exactly. The thing is, if you start with the financialization end of it as the base layer, as just the core kind of primitive, where you're like, guys, look, we're all going to get behind this thing. If we all really get behind it, nobody sells, we're all going to get rich together. And we can do it. And we can do it in a way that is like cool and, you know, surrounded by these like memes that we all think are fun and all this. That's the whole idea behind meme coins, right? It's in a way, it's kind of similar to NFTs, but like you just take off the veil of like we're building a whole community and all this, and it's like let people speculate. So
I like that. I like that a lot, right? Because crypto is here for speculation. This is the use case, right?
It is definitely one very strong use case. It's one incredibly strong use case. Yeah. And right now, the core
speculation, permissionless, enforceable without the need for a trusted third party. Like that's what Uniswap takes out of this, is it enables you to have true, like decentralized speculation.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Dude, the market cap of Pepe right now is like 250 million. I can guarantee this has created like a dozen millionaires, maybe more than a dozen millionaires. You know, I personally know somebody who made $100,000 off of Pepe.
That's sick.
Unfortunately, he bought D Gods with it, so yeah, that's going to zero.
Wait, you're kidding.
I mean, I was thinking about this too, but then I was thinking about it more and I was like, what do you think is the crossover between people who would put all their money into Pepe and also put all their money into D Gods? Probably pretty high.
Yeah, I guess. Well, because D Gods is this like NFT bro, like it's just the like NFT bros frat collection, it's right? Like it's a frat. It's a digital frat.
They just drink beers out of shoes. Okay, that aside.
So you start with speculation and you build the community around it. And if it goes up, it's funny. And if it goes down, it's still pretty funny.
It's hilarious. And also memes, like, and
the content, all that exists outside of the asset, right?
Yeah, dude, I joined a Twitter space of Pepe's like when it was my biggest bag, which it was for a while. And it was actually a great Twitter space. Like the guy who was leading it was like some crypto punk who was like, I don't know, he seemed quite knowledgeable, and they were just talking about like random like financial strategies. They were like, yeah, you know, like when you get to this level of wealth and wanted to start doing these kinds of things, like change your lifestyle this way. And like, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. And then they were just like, yeah. And then it would just be like, I don't know, they'd just be talking about like Pepe in this kind of like background kind of way, whereas like, yeah, this is just something that we're all just in, you know. I don't know, it was kind of fun. Which I wasn't really around for this, but like early 2021 vibe. That's apparently what it was like in the NFT world. So and meme coins are just like new iterations of NFTs, because the NFT market kind of got cooked.
I feel like NFTs got fucked by, I'm rooting for meme coins here, right? Because, NFTs got over their skis, right? They got a little bit too utility centric, right? Yeah. They got a little bit outside of like just like the core vibes, right?
People like inherently, like you said, people inherently want to speculate. They want to make money. Like nobody wants to lose money. And so it was like, oh, I bought this asset. It's like, well, you bought this thinking like you're going to get a bunch of things out of it that are going to pump your bags. But it's like, if everybody just agrees that these are speculative assets, then we can just speculate and we can enjoy it.
Fair,
know
what you're getting in, like, yeah. But okay, so I think that, like, I really think that the if I had to pinpoint a moment where NFTs like really took a hit, it was Doodles. Much more than Blur, right? Like, because Blur was just accelerated what was already going to happen, which was royalties were going to go to zero and things were going to get financialized more. But Doodles fucking, their raise of equity, like their equity raise, I think is the moment where NFTs began their downturn, right? Because you had these VCs coming in, sending capital directly to the Doodles team and not participating by buying NFTs. And then it became clear that actually, wait, if I own this asset, I don't actually partake in upside from the IP or from the like efforts of the founders, which were inherently like funded by my participation by buying.
Wait, but how is that different? Because Yuga raised money before Doodles did. And like Yuga has raised they bought Punks. So much money. Yeah, yeah. They bought Punks. They bought, or they bought all the Larva Labs, but like, they've raised so much money. They like, all they do is fucking throw parties in Brooklyn. Like, you know, like it's the same shit. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But well, I think with Yuga, it was clear. It was clearer what was going to happen, right? With Doodles, they like with Yuga, you always knew that they were going to just spend all your money on fucking getting like Kid Rock to play someplace in Brooklyn, right? Like, you knew what was going to happen there, and the holder base was accustomed to that, and they were buying into it, right? It was a you know, a lot of celebrities buying into this club, and it's like, okay, clearly this is not like a financial investment. This is like much more about just like flossing, right? It might be a financial investment for some people who didn't do their research, but like in reality, they were kind of like, you can monetize your IP. Right. And a couple of apes have tried that. And I don't think, you know, I'll hold my tongue on whether I think ape IP is worth anything.
There's an ape water now.
Yeah, dude, there was an ape spike seltzer. Like I saw like last year. It was fucking weird. And it was like twice as much as any other seltzer. And I was like, I was already not going to buy it. But
yeah,
now that it's got an ape on it, I'm definitely not.
Definitely not.
With Doodles, I feel like they sort of painted this picture of like just much stronger like dedication to the community. And then, you know, they hyped up the duplicator, the Doodles 2.0 thing, and then absolutely fucking tanked it. I mean, I've never seen such mixed execution as Doodles 2.0,
yeah.
Even in this space, right? Like it would have been better for them to just stop tweeting, to just walk away. But then they're like, oh yeah, it turns out these things that you thought were inherently valuable because of their scarcity, well, now they're like infinitely replicable. Also, they're infinitely replicable on a chain that none of you guys want to use and nobody actually wants in on. And that's the, and it took them like a year or so to even roll that out. To me, I think that the Doodles rugged their community in a way that I don't think you can say that about the apes.
Interesting. Okay, so Doodles is a downfall of NFTs, but the idea still is like, yeah, people need a way to all get together and try and wag me, you know, like
Well, so like, okay, so this is what I like about the meme coins is there's no fucking promises, right? There's no like, we all know what we're getting into. We're all gonna make it together. Like, all you have to do is like believe a little bit harder, and might you get burned in the process? Of course, like many people are going to get burned in the process. Yes.
Wake up and get rugged, you know?
Yeah, but like, but it's part of the fun, right? Yeah. And in a way that like when you work inside like a large like Web3 organization, like I do, you get a little bit tired of the like the inorganic planned things. Right. And that's what Doodles 2.0 felt like to me. That's where I think NFTs took their downfall, is they planned too hard. They tried too hard. With this, it's like, we don't have to try, right? We just have to bring the community together to be like, to have some fun.
Yeah.
And ideally buy the coin.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, okay, here's the thing. Do you think meme coins are here to stay? Like for the next few years? Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I honestly, like if Pepe hasn't died yet, what's going to kill it? You know, like it's really hard to see it going to zero at this point.
Yeah, I don't see it going to zero. I just think like, I don't know if Pepe the meme is too niche, if it's been associated with too much like alt-right and like kind of like 4chan kind of stuff, that maybe we can pump it to like, you know, a couple hundred million or whatever, but to take it to Doge levels, to $10 billion market cap, we need retail, which, you know, a lot of people are kind of turned to, like, cute dogs are one thing, but like Pepe the Frog has too much negative association. But yeah, I agree with you.
I didn't know Pepe was an alt-right thing until we started recording.
Yeah, but that's not like your wheelhouse though. Like a lot.
Yeah, but is it retail's wheelhouse?
I definitely think so. This during the 2016 election, Pepe was like one of the biggest talking points.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Man, I don't remember this at all.
I know, because you don't tune into like politics and that kind of shit.
No, you're right. Yeah, I really don't.
For a lot of normies, it's like Pepe, Nazi. That's how they look at it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look, I think, I don't know, it's just fun to see people having fun again, right?
I agree.
Like, there was the Gary Gensler one was my favorite.
I love Gensler. Good Gary Gensler. I'm holding. I'm not selling my Gensler. It's down bad, but I'm holding. I think he's going to get up in front of Congress again at some point. The meme will resurface. Elon will tweet about it or something like that, and it'll just go like 100x.
It's there's evil Gary Gensler here on Earth, and good Gensler is coming to fight him.
Gary Gensler. okay. Now let's talk about my favorite, the BRC20 standard. So,
oh yeah, okay. What's going on here?
So we have shitcoins on Ethereum. Now we have shitcoins on Bitcoin. It's a complete new era of Bitcoin. I had stepped away. I was a Bitcoin maxi from like 2016 until 2020, basically until I saw Uniswap. And then I started playing around with Uniswap and I was like, this is insane. And then that led to the whole next wave, you know, like DeFi summer and the rest is history. And then shitcoining days just never ended. But now those shitcoining days have come to Bitcoin. It all started with ordinals. So ordinal inscriptions are a way to put data on individual Satoshis, which are the smallest unit of Bitcoin. So this is all enabled by Taproot, which is an upgrade that went through on Bitcoin like a year ago. So
yeah, we covered that in our deep dive.
Yeah, we talked about Taproot, talked about Taro. Check those out if you want to learn more. Ordinals are really the first big innovation that's been enabled by Taproot. They allow for you to put basically any amount of data, like very large amounts of data, attached to one Satoshi. And it's not really that expensive for the Bitcoin blockchain to store that data. It doesn't change like how much computational power you have to put in to, you know, generate the hash necessary to actually create a block.
Mine the block. Yeah.
Yeah. So it doesn't really change fundamentally that much. So you can basically jam in a bunch of data into the Bitcoin blockchain now. And so people are like, oh, like, let's experiment with this. So first they were like, okay, first ordinal inscriptions were JPEGs. It's like NFTs. You know, there are Pepes. Inscribed Pepes is one of the biggest collections. Our good friends are the creators of that collection. There are Bitcoin punks. There are apes. There are, you know, a lot of the same NFTs. And then more recently, there has been a new standard called the BRC20 standard, which uses the same format of inscriptions, ordinal inscriptions, where you basically can put any kind of data. But it's a, it's kind of like a JSON format where it basically says like mint, token, name, amount, you know, max supply, like very similar to how you would create a token on ERC using ERC20 standard. So all this little rambling is just to say that we now have shitcoins on Bitcoin. They're getting, like, for the longest time, I mean, this all has happened in the last month and a half, right? So initially it was all, yeah, for the longest time, initially it was all done like OTC. You would have to basically mint. So the way this is done, right, you deploy a new like ordinal inscription on a specific Satoshi. You specify the name of the token. It can be maximum 4 characters. You then say what the max supply of this thing can be. And then you basically deploy it. And then anybody can mint it for free. These are all free mints, right? You basically just have to pay gas. Or is it called gas? I always forget. Like, what is Bitcoin? Like, what do you pay? Mining fees? Mining rewards?
Transaction fees.
Transaction fees, not gas.
Yeah.
Tips, right. Sats. Yeah. So you're paying Satoshis to basically inscribe. But that's it. You can mint for free. So the first few are picking up. So the first, like the biggest, the blue chip BRC20 is called Ordi, in like, you know, honor of ordinals. The second,
how do you do this? It's in a wallet.
Yeah. Unisat. It's like Uniswap. Unisat. Yeah. Unisat wallet. And also Unisat has its own marketplace and it's super easy to mint on their website. You can also deploy new tokens, on their website. Super easy. So the first few, like biggest ones, the first one is Ordi. The second biggest one is of course Pepe. Then there's a meme, there's Wojak, there is Matrix, Wizard, there's my favorite Maxi. So yeah, it's picking up. Like I think this kind of,
wait, Maxi's great.
It's incredible. That's it's awesome. It's so perfect. Yeah. yeah. So anyways, yeah, that's BRC20, and right now we're seeing like literally the birth of
how
all these.
How does the marketplace work? Is it, it's peer to peer?
Dude, the marketplace is OTC? Like, yeah, they're OTC. So you either like get literal like escrow, like you have to have somebody basically like arbitrate this thing. I think that's the only.
Yeah, yeah, because right, because you can't code it into a contract.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out how fucking ownership works. Like if the metadata surrounding the token is stored in an inscription on one Satoshi, I assume the ownership is just using like Taro or something under the hood to do it. In which case, I think you should be able actually to create a marketplace for this running on the Lightning Network.
So I don't know exactly how this ties into Lightning. I do know that there was a way where I minted a ordinal using Lightning, but I think that was just for the payment part of it. It wasn't for the actual trading part. I don't know. I think this is all yet to be built. Like somebody just created the first liquidity pool on this.
The liquidity pool, that's exactly okay. So this is okay. So if you remember, do you remember how in Lightning Network, right, like you have like multi-hop like transactions,
yeah,
right? So
yeah,
I can pay you via someone else, and what it looks like is they have a transaction that they broadcast that pays you, conditional on them getting a transaction that they can broadcast that pays them from me. So the intermediary has this like conditional like execution, but you can do that with multiple currencies, right? Because Taproot, like Taro, enables like third-party currencies that are not Bitcoin to be used in this exchange, right? So the intermediary could be like, look, I'll send you, maybe you're both parties here. So usually what works is the intermediary is like, I'll send Karan because we have a channel open, 1 Bitcoin if Matt sends me 1.01 Bitcoin, right? In this case, it's I'll send Karan 1 Maxi token if he sends me 100 sats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And those are just like a pair of transactions that they'll sign something and send it to you as long as they get the signature of the one that gets sent to them.
I see.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah, the liquidity pool makes sense. That's gonna take off, I think, because it's better than, you know, that was part of the problem with ordinals, right? Was like there was no way to like trustlessly trade them.
Right. Yeah. You still, I mean, even now, you still need to do it all OTC. So yeah, I think the liquidity pools are going to be massive. And then the other thing is the first centralized exchange, Huobi, just announced that they're going to start supporting ordinals. Which are not ordinals, but BRC20.
BRC20.
So I think that's going to be massive. Huge. Yeah.
That's massive.
That is massive.
Wow. Now I feel like I need to just go mint a little bit of everything.
Yeah. But same God, here.
I really don't want to spend Bitcoin.
I know. It does hurt spending Bitcoin, but the thing is, they're all free. And so it's just transaction fees. You know, it's like.
How much is it? I saw that Bitcoin apparently had its highest ever transaction volume in a single day, like yesterday.
And yeah, transaction fee wise, right?
Was it fees or number of transactions?
Well, I guess if it was number of transactions, probably fees also highest, right? But
yeah, you'd think so. I don't know. I can't find the headline. But that's okay. That shows you what a big deal this is, right? And how many conversations have you had with anyone outside of you, me, and like a couple of group chats that we're in surrounding this stuff? So maybe you've had a lot more conversations around it than I have. But I haven't had a single conversation with anyone. Like, everyone's at consensus right now. Or they're just getting back from consensus.
Yeah.
How many of those people do you think have heard of BRC20?
Ooh, close to zero for sure.
Close to zero, and yet it's the biggest day ever for the Bitcoin blockchain in one respect or another.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Most of them haven't heard of ordinals, right? Like,
yeah. Our good friend Katz, who is like pretty deep in the space and also like quite in the Bitcoin space, I had to tell him today what BRC20 was. So yeah, it is.
I mean, you kind of had to tell me. Yeah.
Yeah. True. But yeah, I think this has been the most alpha filled episode so far.
You know what we should do? We should set up like a decent fucking ETF where we just mint a little bit of every single BRC20.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. I was thinking we launch a BRC20 called Decent DCNT.
Wait, okay, here's a question. If it's limited to 4 maximum, shouldn't we just mint all of them?
Every like, single kind 4 of letter grab? Combination?
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, like, you can deploy, but you need other people to mint.
I mean, we'll figure it out, right?
Yeah, probably.
Is it really only 4?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 2-6 times 2-6 times 2-6. Okay, it's about 500,000 possible combinations. 450,000. How many transactions are in an average block?
So, but the thing is, like, just deploying all of them doesn't really help you that much. Because you don't own any of the supply.
You need people to mint. Yeah. Oh, you don't own any of it. Okay, so you basically also need to mint.
Exactly. You need to deploy and mint. And that'll cost you a decent bit.
I gotta look more into this.
Yeah.
We'll do a deep dive.
Yeah,
we'll do a deep dive on BRC20.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is fascinating.
Yeah, it is. all right. This has been the
Anything
meme
else happened
episode.
Over the last month? Like, is there a single thing?
I don't think so.
I feel like we kind of covered it at the start with our, like, why nothing else means anything stuff.
I think so. Yeah, I don't know.
This is big. But like implications.
Oh yeah. Implications. Okay. When retail comes back, like, is retail buying L1 tokens or are they buying meme coins? Is retail buying NFTs or are they buying meme coins? Like, you know, we were talking about how, like, before we started recording, we're like, yeah, all this kind of stuff is trending in a pretty interesting place. Like, there's a lot of these, like, alt-right people with their own coins. Like, there's, like, an Andrew Tate coin. There's a Joe Rogan coin. I mean, he's not alt-right, but, like, Yeah, it's pretty. It's just funny to see all this shit, you know.
Is it even his? It might not even be his.
None of these are any like related to any of these people. There's an Elon Musk coin, you know, like all this kind of stuff. Like people are just launching them.
I mean, there's 900 them. Elon Musk coins, right? There's a
billion. Yeah.
You know, there's Doge Elon Mars. There's like baby Elon, baby Doge Elon Mars. Like you know, like
yeah,
like. I know I can probably name like 7 Elon coins on Ethereum.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's an interesting time. I don't know. I think like, you know, who predicted this is who? Andreas Antonopoulos in the Internet of Money, dude. He was like, we're going to live in a future where Jimmy has Jimmy coin and Alice has Alice coin and Matt has Matt coin. And I was like, this guy is fucking dumb.
And now money as a form of self-expression.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is insane. The one thing I've learned is never fade Andreas. This man has literally never been wrong in the history of crypto. Like he's just always right. It's insane. I think we're going towards that world now.
I mean think about like that's what Uniswap allows for.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Mm-hmm.
None of that would be, I mean, who's going to be able to pay for Jimmy? Who's going to list Jimmy coin on a centralized exchange, right?
Yeah, nobody.
Like, but Uniswap, it's permissionless. Yeah. And liquidity is really there. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden your ability to like use currencies or like hold currencies mm-hmm. and swap them at the last second for whatever someone else needs.
Yeah.
Is really different.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was really thinking about this where it's like, okay, like imagine Joe Rogan coin, right? It's like, if he actually decided to say, like, fuck it, I'm launching Joe Rogan coin, like, we're gonna, you know, like, everybody's a Joe Rogan supporter, like, we're gonna pump Joe Rogan coin. And then, like, you know, I don't know, like, he just decided to do some crazy shit with the money, or he decided to do nothing with the money. But, like, regardless, it would definitely go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you have your own coin, you have to make it a free mint.
For sure, for sure. That's why I think that I also think like BRC20
clear though, kind of at that point.
Yeah, I think BRC20 can kind of really pick up for that reason. They're all free mints. There's also like there's also a ton of other advantages. Like,
wait, how much does it cost to mint one of these things? Like right now?
So just to do like one mint, it'll cost you like $2-3. It's quite cheap.
Is it like limited? Is it limited quantity?
Yeah. So like,
you mint like 1,000 token?
Or they'll limit how much you can mint at a time.
So you could have a play. There's 450,000. It costs you $2-3. So for like less than $2 million, you could have a little bit of everything. Of literally everything.
Yeah, probably.
We're going to need a new standard.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I think it's going to blow up, like, 100%. I think this stuff is going to blow up.
This changes fucking Bitcoin, too.
Dude, it changes everything about Bitcoin. It changes Bitcoin's security model. It changes, like, the infrastructure built around Bitcoin. It changes, like, everything around Bitcoin, dude. It also, like, made me think, like, are people going to be launching shitcoins on all these other chains? Is the activity going to go back to Bitcoin? You know, like
the activity is where the people are. So I keep saying this about at Polygon, we had an internal discussion. Maybe I'm not supposed to talk about it. I don't know. It's an hour in the episode.
Yeah.
Obviously, and it's like, who's we anyway, right? Some people have been talking about like, why don't we have a meme coin on Polygon? And my assertion is that that's not the kind of people that use Polygon.
Yeah.
Right. Like look at the success of meme coins on Arbitrum. There's like AI Doge is like a huge one, mm-hmm. right? Arbitrum did a fantastic job of isolating their user demographic down to the degen like speculator by having GMX on there. That was Arbitrum's killer app, and it's brought the speculators, and everybody that was going to buy AI Doge already has a little bit of assets on Arbitrum because they were using them to trade with GMX.
Yeah.
Right. Polygon just can't have that. And then there's the like really tunnel vision thing about Polygon, which is that everybody's like, we have Poly Doge. Why isn't Poly Doge? Why aren't Poly Pepe's pump? You know what I mean? Which is like, you just can't name it after the chain you're on. Poly Pepe. That's like rule number one, right? Like
Poly Pepe's will never pump. I can guarantee everybody at Polygon that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's probably like seven people that all work at Polygon trading against each other, right? It's it's PvP. It's Polygon versus Polygon.
That's funny.
But yeah, that's the question, right? Are people going to mint on a new chain or on a different chain? Like, what are they going to buy? It's going to be about where the people are,
Yeah.
right? More than which chain's technology supports it now that like it's, effectively commoditized. This fucking is so interesting for Bitcoin because it's like did you ever read about how in London back in the day, like 19th century, they were concerned that soon that there were more and more horses coming into London, and there weren't enough people to clear the excrement. And the fear was that London was going to be like buried under like inches high like levels of horse poop by the turn of the century or whatever. And then the car came in and changed everything.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden nobody was worried about the impending doom of the horse shit, right? That's the Bitcoin security model,
Yeah.
right?
No, dude,
We were
everything has
really
been
worried about
changed.
it.
Everything has been changed forever. We were like, yeah, it's wild. If you, yeah, it's crazy that if you bring users, you can solve problems.
You just need to,
Yeah.
you just need to make it possible to fucking speculate, and then boom, all of a sudden you went like that. That's crypto, right?
We're
Like,
Bitcoin maxis again. What a great time.
I love
Yes. A
Bitcoin.
great time to be alive. That's a good place to leave it. All right. This has been the meme coin episode. We'll be back in a few days. Talk about whatever else is
Can we talk
going
about
on.
account abstraction?
Oh yeah. We do need to do that. We'll
I think
talk
that's
about our
going to change a
counter
lot. That's going to
extraction.
change
Yeah.
everything. It's going to be really cool. It'll be a good episode.
Okay, hell yeah. It's gonna be hard to follow up this one, but
Peace
here we go. All right. This has been the Decent Crypto Podcast. We'll be back next week. Have a good weekend, everybody. Until next time.
None of this was financial advice, legal advice, investment advice, or any other kind of advice. If you're looking for advice, you are definitely in the wrong place. Until next time, stay decent.